Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. You are on the Eddie Jones Talk Show, the Eddie Jones Talk Show on Faces of Success Radio. And what a week it's been. What a week it's been. It's been so much going on. First of all, I hope you have your coffee, your orange juice, whatever you like there. I hope you have it and you're ready to go this morning. There's so much to talk about this morning on the Eddie Jones Talk Show. It's been, like I said, a trying week. So many things. So get ready, get comfortable, relax. If you're at work, behind your desk, if you're at home, if you're on your cell phone driving in the car, if you're on your laptop or your computer, you are on the Eddie Jones Talk Show, and we are going to talk about a lot of things. First of all, let's do this. You know, today is a homegoing celebration for Michael Brown, and all of his families and the Trayvon Martin family are all together in St. Louis and Ferguson County. And I think that's a really big thing. And I heard the father say to everybody during their peace rally, he just wants peace. He wants peace for the homegoing celebration today, and he wants peace, and he wants all the people to get together and be united and start working together instead of us looting and tearing up stuff. He wants us to be productive and work together to make things good. You know what I mean? To make things right. The only way we're ever going to do that, you guys, is if we join together, not just talking about it, but actually doing it. You know, emailing each other, calling each other, getting into a community organization, doing something positive in your community. It doesn't matter what state you're in. It doesn't matter what city you're in. It doesn't even matter what country you're in. It just matters that we all get together and communicate and talk and work for a common cause, and that's peace. And the common cause is unity. And the common cause is communication. And we can do that. I'm very happy to announce to you that I understand that they're going to be hiring more African-American officers. That's right, more black officers on the Ferguson Police Force because it is 90% white. And that's just not going to work in an all-black community. I'm sure you will agree. I want to, you know, say hello to all my friends out there from Susan Miller Dorsey High School. I want to say hi to all my friends from the Gardens. I want to say hi out there to all the people from Audubon Middle School, all the people that I have worked with over the years in the civil rights struggle. I want to say a hello to everybody that's out there that's going to work this morning or getting ready for work, or taking care of your kids. And I want to give a shout-out to all the fathers out there. I will be participating in the Million Father March just coming up. And I'm also going to be appointed as a crime prevention person, not just here in Los Angeles, but across the United States. And I'll be going to that event at the Stinkin' Rolls coming up in September. And I'm so proud to be a part of something that's so much bigger than me, a crime prevention program that will help stop crime. As you can see, there's been, so much crime. Speaking of crime, over the weekend in San Fernando Valley, three people were shot randomly in three different places by some guy who just decided to get his gun and go out and shoot three people. I can't believe he shot an elderly lady sitting in her car waiting to take someone to church. Can you believe that? I can't. And then he shot, went and drove 15 minutes from there and shot another person. And then he drove somewhere 15 minutes from there and shot another person. Apparently the police might have someone in custody. We're not sure. You know, we are going to talk about police brutality. But I do want you to know that in the city of San Bernardino, a police officer was shot, and he's in critical condition in the hospital in San Bernardino. And, you know, we don't hate police officers. We just don't want the bad officers who are doing bad things on the force. So I want to send my prayers to the officer who's in critical condition in the line of duty doing his job. Like I said, we will talk about police brutality because there's good cops, and somewhere out there there's a few bad cops. I've had so many emails and texts and things on what we should do before a police officer is hired. Somebody said that before a police officer becomes a police officer, he should take the state bar. And, you know, I thought that was funny. And then another person said, through via email. If a police officer wants to be a police officer, he should take a lie detector test. And if it shows up anywhere in the lie detector test that he's lying about being racist, then he shouldn't be a cop. So I did get a lot of emails and a lot of texts, and I've gotten calls from all over the place. And, you know, I'm just, you know, wow. Michael Brown, 18 years old. And, you know, in Chicago, on Chicago's south side, there was a 9-year-old kid by the name of Antonio Smith in Chicago who was shot and killed. And I posted him up on my Facebook page. And, of course, for all those people who did make comments on that, I want you to know it did get me in tears. And I had played a song called Sometimes I Cry, because, you know, I mean, hey, when you keep reading and looking at this stuff and working around all this stuff, it can get you emotional. And I just want to see everybody, you know, work on getting together, like Mr. Brown said. And I'm so proud that Trayvon Martin family, the Brown family, people from the White House, governmental elected officials are all going to be at home going for Michael Brown today. This is a sign that things are changing. Things are changing. Now, you know, God said in his word, I don't come when you want me to, but I'm right on time. So, you know, this could have happened years ago. It could have happened years ago, but it's happening now. That's the most important part. It's happening right now. And it's going to take all of us, all of our ideas, all of our leadership, all of our integrity and our dignity and our social skills and our etiquette to put this whole thing together. We gotta get these young men that are out there doing what they feel like is right. We got to get them on our team and get them some jobs and get them in some programs and get them going in the right direction. So, you know, I'm talking to all the fathers out there. Now it's time for all the fathers to step up and play big brother, uncle, son, whatever. There's a lot of kids out there that just need some leadership and some direction. A lot of young people that I saw out there in St. Louis, they were very angry, but they didn't know which way to channel their anger. So here's where we as men step in to support the family structure. We start, you know, doing, you know, if you can volunteer any of your time, you know, I don't care if it's helping a kid with math, walking a kid to school, you know, spending time with baseball, basketball, soccer, whatever. Come on, you guys. Let's step it up. As fathers, as families, in the black community, the brown community, the white community, and all the communities, let's just get this thing together. Because let me tell you something. I know you heard about that earthquake. That earthquake was something else. And when I looked at the earthquake on the news, I said, you know what? God will get your attention one way or the other, but he will get your attention. Now, we all know Napa Valley is the place where all the wineries are and all the nice resorts and everything. Well, God shook up all the wine, didn't he? And, you know, look, that was a big earthquake, 6.0. Imagine. I'm hoping it didn't hit the fault line because, you know, that's still a part of California. And here I am in Los Angeles where, like back in the 80s, we had a major earthquake that shut down and broken freeways and all kinds of crazy. It was just ridiculous. So we don't want a major earthquake. And if we do have a major earthquake, I'm sure that'll make people work together, won't it? People will work together tremendously for a common cause. And that's to stay healthy, strong, and alive. So we should do that before the major earthquake. But if God has to shake us up to get our attention, to get us focused on something that we should be doing instead of other things that we're doing, then, oh, well, so be it. Like I said, my heart goes out to Ernesto Darnes, Jr. I had his video up. He's the one who was in his yard. And the police got a call that see the man with the knife or something. Now, the man didn't have a knife. He didn't have a weapon. You can go on my page, Eddie Jones Jr. on Facebook, and you can look at it right now. And the cop just goes up and says, Ernie, I'm going to shoot you. And he literally does it. He shoots him like 10 or 11 times. And the video's up there, and you can see it. It's very, you know, if you can't watch it, I understand. But if you can listen to the audio, you know, just to see. So my heart goes out to him. My heart goes out to Cesar Cruz, who was shot down by the police. My heart goes out to him. You know, Michael Nida, who was shot down by the police on on 10/22/2011. My heart goes out to Ignacio Ochoa. And, of course, you know, my heart goes out to Corporal Allen A.J. Devolina II, who was a Marine who was shot and killed by the Palm Springs Police. Yes, he was. And my heart goes out to the Devolina family. God bless you guys. And also, you know, I want to mention Miss Pinnock, who was beat up on the 10 freeway by the highway patrol officer. He's being prosecuted. That's right. Police officers can be prosecuted, too. They can go to jail, too. He is going to be going to court for attempted murder. Yes, that's right. So write that down. And speaking of that, the police officer in Ferguson who threatened the journalist, he no longer is a police officer. He's been fired. He has been fired. Yes, he has. He's been fired from his job, and that's a start. It's a start, you guys. Well, look, anyway. Oh, yeah, this is on my mind. Everybody knows about Death Row Records. Everybody knows about Death Row Records. You know, Suge Knight. Suge Knight, he's the one who, he had Death Row Records. He's the one that hung Vanilla Ice outside the window and made him sign the contract. He's the one who had Snoop and Dr. Dre on his label and, of course, Tupac. And it was a big multi-million dollar company, Death Row Records. Well, I heard that something happened at the MTV after party where Chris Brown was performing, and I understand that Suge Knight and a few other people were shot. And so in spite of whatever Suge Knight did on whatever, I'm just hoping that he recovers from this and that that he's going to be all right. And I'm just tired of all the violence, period. It doesn't even have to be Suge Knight. I'm just tired of the gun violence, the gang violence, the police brutality, the black-on-black crime, the brown-on-black crime, the brown-on-brown crime. Can we just stop it? Can we just put the guns down? Can we just put the guns down? I mean, these are celebrity events. Nobody should be getting shot anywhere, okay? It's just ridiculous, okay? There is also a spoof of a story about the killer of Trayvon Martin, which is Zimmerman. They said that he was arrested in Ferguson. Well, just want you to know that that's false news. Zimmerman was not arrested in Ferguson. He wasn't there. But Zimmerman is living a very terrible life right now. This dude is just like, he's miserable. He has gone to jail like four or five times since then. He's been in trouble with the law since then. He's been beating up on his wife, domestic violence. This dude is not having no good luck. All I can say is, you know, God will have the last word. And I don't hate George Zimmerman, but, you know, when you do what you do, then you pay for what you pay for when it comes to God, because he's the one that said he'll fight our battle. So also, too, I just want to the family of Oscar Grant, you know, I send you guys love to the Grant family, to the family of Woodrow Player, who was shot and killed by the police, too. I send love to Eric Garner from Staten Island, New York, who was shot and killed. He was strangled to death with the chokehold, which was banned 20 years ago. I'm going to send my love out to him and his family and to anybody out there, because this is Cancer Awareness Month. This is Cancer Awareness Month. The month of September coming up is Cancer Awareness Month. And so we want to, you know, I want to give a shout out to anybody who has lost their life to cancer, to anybody who has lost their life to gang and gun violence, to anybody who has lost their life to police brutality. I want to go on a short break, and we'll be right back after this, but I want you to listen to this song, because I dedicate this song to anyone who has lost a loved one to gun and gang violence, to just listen in, enjoy for a minute. This song is for all the families out there, for everybody. Thank you. You are on the Eddie Jones Talk Show, Faces of Success Radio, and I just want you to know that it's so much going on out there in the world today, but it's going to be all right in spite of everything that's going on. It's going to be all right. As long as we communicate, work together, we can work this thing out. Look, if you want to call in and talk about police brutality, martial law, civil unrest, how to work it out, where the church is and what the church should be doing during these times of civil unrest and all that, call in at 323-642-1569, 323-642-1569. 6:9, and we can talk about it. Meanwhile, let's get back to what we're talking about. Yeah, it's Michael Brown's homegoing celebration today in Ferguson, and it's going to be held at Friendly Hills Missionary Baptist Church. Friendly Hills Missionary Baptist Church. I'm sure you can probably Google it and get all the information on it. You could probably follow it on the news if you want to. Michael Brown's mother and father just asked for peace. And I think that's the best thing that we can all ask for is peace. But at the same time, we should be working on legislation to change policy and procedure within the police departments across the United States of America. Yes, legislation all the way up to the White House that changes policy and procedures in the way that policing is done in the United States of America, not just in one city, not just in one state, but across every city in every state. I don't know if you've been noticing or not, but these police precincts are now getting military weapons. Yes, they have military tanks. Not tanks, I'm going a little far. But they have Humvee vehicles that are specially equipped with special technology that you would use over in a war zone. We don't need that in our communities. We don't need vehicles like that. I don't even know if you looked at some of the pictures during the Ferguson incident where they called in the SWAT teams and they were up on top of the vehicles, on top of their trucks with automatic weapon pointing them at the people. Wrong. So wrong. I spoke out on that and I'm speaking out on it again. We don't need all these police departments across the United States with all these automatic weapons, military equipment, and I understand you got to have a SWAT team. That's important. But you don't need a lot of military stuff so you can have war on the people right here in the United States of America in their communities. We don't need that. And I hope and I pray that every chief of police across the United States of America is learning a great lesson, not only about the Rodney King incident, not only about the Oscar Grant incident, not only about A.J. Allen Devalina or any of the other people who have been shot and killed by police officers, or even Miss Pinnock, the highway patrolman who beat her. I hope they're learning that we have to learn how to work in these communities. We need to get to know the people in the communities. We need to try to find a way to have a common cause. On the door it says to serve and to protect. Okay, let's do that. And at the same time, let's build a relationship with the people in the community. What happened to the police officers who used to ride bicycles through the community and horses through the community and talk to the people and throw football with them or whatever? Get to know the people that you're working with. That'll make things a whole lot better. And so much on that particular topic right there. I want to talk about President Barack Obama for a minute. I'm going to commend him, President Barack Obama. I want to commend him for all the things that he's doing. He's doing a whole lot. Even though he's been working on all these things going on in the Middle East, and they assassinated one of the journalists who was caught over there as a prisoner. And they killed him on public television. And of course, Barack Obama, he responded to that immediately. But I understand we don't pay ransoms. We don't do that in the United States. But my thing is that even through all that stuff, he's still been dealing with the stuff going on in Ferguson. He sent the Attorney General, he sent Eric Holder out there to do what he's supposed to do, to bring peace to an uncivil situation. Very uncivil situation. I just really am so happy that more people didn't get hurt, more people didn't die, because I tell you, people are angry. They're mad. And when you make people angry and upset and mad and you're killing their kids, what do you expect people to do? Okay, so maybe now everybody can come to the table and they can give their advice and they can talk about all the different things that can make things better in every area. As far as policing is concerned, police brutality is concerned, and changing the policies and procedures within the police departments, not only here, but around the United States of America. So I'm really happy this morning. I want to say to everybody out there who's listening to the show, That includes, I want to give a big shout out to all my family who's listening to the show, and to everybody that's listening, whether you're in New York, Chicago, Detroit, Atlanta, Texas, and I could go on and on and on. And for those who are abroad, Australia, Africa, wherever you are, thank you for listening to the Eddie Jones Talk Show on Faces of Success Radio. You know, want to give a big shout out to Greg Hanley and Pearl, my buddy Grady, and all the other people who helped make this a success, all the people who worked so hard to make sure that positive things are happening in the community. You know, shout out to Al Sharpton and all the civil rights leaders who are out there working and doing the right thing to make a difference. And I just want to say that, you know, let's remove hate. Let's remove hate out of our mouth. Let's remove racism out of our mouth, out of our mind. Yes, we know it exists, but if we don't give it any energy, we can take control of it. If we don't give it all the attention, we can move it out of the way, and we can fight for the better common cause of unity. You see, the only way we're ever going to get through this is if we talk about it. Town hall meetings are good. Public meetings are good. Getting together with your church is good. Getting together with the kids in the community are good. Talking about it at the barber shop is good. Talking about it at the beauty shop and the nail shop is good. But we need to talk. If I walk by you every day and I don't say anything, there's going to be a question mark on your mind and a question mark on my mind. But the minute we say hello to each other, the question mark diminishes, and now we're able to communicate and find out that we all have something in common. We're all going through things in a different way. You know, everybody's thing is different. But we do have something in common. We know how to talk. We know how to communicate. We can work it out. You know, my heart goes out to Ms. Tammy Simpson and her family. And again, to anyone who has lost their children to crime, black-on-black crime, black-on-brown crime, brown-on-black crime, and all that kind of crime. So my heart goes out to the Tammy Simpson and her family. And, you know, I want to give a shout-out to, it's a thing on Facebook called Small Gesture, Big Smile, and I've been participating in that group. And what they do is they go around to different people that might be going through something, and they might donate them a pair of shoes, give them some money to buy something to eat. Well, I've been doing that, and I challenge you out there to go on Facebook and look for a Small Gesture, Big Smile. Shout out to Kevin Ross, who started this. And so far, I've been participating, and I've given money to help people get on the bus, food for people to eat. You know, it's something that we all should be doing for each other. It's called, again, it's called Small Gesture, Big Smile. And I think you should get involved. It's on Facebook. And if you want to go to my Facebook page, it's Eddie Jones Jr. on Facebook. Eddie Jones Jr. on Facebook. And this is what we should be doing. We got to take care of each other. We can't wait on somebody to come and do what we all can do if we just work together. I just want you to know something out there. You know, when I first heard that Mr. Michael Jackson had passed away, it shocked me. I'm sure it shocked you too. It shocked the whole world. Well, you know, his birthday's coming up real soon. So I just wanted to say to the Jackson family, you know, I send out my love to you, and I still can't believe that Michael's gone. You know, rest in peace, my brother. But what a great man he was, and what a great philanthropist he was, and what a great giver he was. And my heart is also going out to Michael Jackson, and one of his favorite songs is, that I really, really love is called Gone Too Soon. So, again, a shout out to the Jackson family. God bless you guys, and, you know, God bless you. So, here we are on the Eddie Jones Talk Show, the Eddie Jones Talk Show on Faces of Success Radio. And, you know, I'm just so happy to be, whoever can hear me right now, I'm happy that you're listening. And if you're listening and you're getting something out of this, you can let me know that you really love it by telling a friend out there. Pass the information on about the show. That's really important to me. That's really, really important. I want this to, I want, people need to hear. They need to hear change, and we can get change. And for those who don't know, I'm also the president of the Los Angeles Civil Rights Association. We do civil rights, constitutional rights, and human rights. And, you know, we're also going to talk about this morning some of the things that's going on in the judicial system that's just unfair. You know, I mean, look at all these young people that are going to jail, and they're getting like, they're not getting like 6 months or a year. They're getting like 15, 20 years, 25 years to life without the possibility of parole. And some of them, I just feel, are just outrageous. I just want to see change in our judicial system. And if you've ever been a victim of the judicial system, you know, which brings me to saying that my heart goes out to John Thomas Horton III, who was beat up in the Men's Central Jail, and then he was hung. Yes, he died in the Men's Central Jail. My heart goes out to Ms. Jones and the family. And I'm just saying, this is why the judicial system needs to change. We need to make all parts of the judicial system accountable for its actions. And the only way we can do that is legislation. People say, we can't fight. We cannot fight the judicial system. Yes, you can. If one woman can walk up and take prayer out of school, one woman can take prayer out of every school in the United States of America. I know we can get a group together that can do something in Washington, D.C. to get some legislation going on about changing policies and procedures within the judicial system. How many parents are sitting out there right now that have a son or a daughter or a nephew or a niece that's caught up in the system for something that they probably didn't have nothing to do? What if they didn't tell what was going on, then they ended up paying for it? So there's so many changes that need to take place. Let me go over just a small, short list. We need to change the way this gang problem in our communities, we need to change that. I'm talking to all the leaders out there. We can do this. We can do it. We have to do it. We must do it. I don't want to hear about another 9-year-old boy getting shot and killed. I don't want to hear about another 5-year-old girl shot and killed. I don't want to hear about anybody. I'm tired of looking at this on the news. If it was left up to me, I would ban every gun in the world. Just no guns. Okay? Weapon free. Unfortunately, that's not ever going to happen because they're building, making, creating guns every day, all kinds of guns. They even have guns with lasers on them now. They can zap you now. They don't have to just shoot you with a projectile. They can zap you and drain your power from your body. They got all kinds of weaponry out there, things we don't even know about. But what kind of world would it be without a weapon? If everybody could just talk everything out, I guess it would be all right. Well, let's go back to the earthquake. I just can't, I mean, that earthquake, 6.0 in Napa Valley was an amazing earthquake. And I'm just saying, get ready. Get your emergency kits together, okay? If you don't have any emergency water, if you don't have home insurance, if you don't have personal property insurance, this earthquake in San Francisco was a wake-up call for a lot of people. And a bunch of people are hurting in the hospital, but the damage, from what I understand, could be up to $1 billion. Governor Jerry Brown has already called an emergency alert, and of course, you know, I'm sure FEMA will get involved and everything else like they always do. And speaking of FEMA, this brings me back to a topic that I thought was very important today. We'll just touch on it just for a minute, and that's martial law. Martial law. Okay, you remember in Boston when they had the marathon and the bomber blew up the people in Boston, they called martial law on the city, went up to the satellites, went back and looked over everything and found out who the shooter was or who the bomber was, and they caught him, of course. When we had the Rodney King riots, they brought martial law. They brought in the National Guards. Back during the Watts riots, I don't know if you were there or not, but of course, you know, they had martial law. Well, here in St. Louis in Ferguson, the president had to sign a bill to allow martial law to come down on the city of Ferguson because of all the civil unrest. What is martial law? Well, you have to have a curfew. You have to be in by a certain time. I posted some information on my page about martial law, and some people did read it. And a lot of you probably already know what it means, but then there's probably a lot of people that don't know exactly what martial law means. That means that the city is no longer ran by the city council and the mayor, but now it's being ran by the government. That's right, the military. And the military comes in, and they take over the streets, and they take over the police department and any other local law enforcement. And when they do that, if you are caught looting, if you're out after curfew, actually, in all due reality, they have the right to shoot and kill you. Yes, that's right. That's exactly what martial law is. They take over the whole state or city, wherever the problem is. They go in, they cover the city or the state or whatever, and they take over. And I guess I'm saying that because we don't want martial law to ever come down on any other cities around the United States. I hope and I pray that from this point on we'll be, when we have a situation, hopefully it won't happen, but there's always going to be somebody out there doing something that they don't need to be doing that causes civil unrest, that causes martial law to have to come down, and then we got to alert all the people, and, you know, look what happened with the Trayvon Martin case. You know, so the same thing happened in Ferguson. But I hope from these incidents, I hope from the Rodney King incident, Oscar Grant incident, all the shootings that have to do with police officers, I pray to God, in the name of Jesus, that the police departments, like I said earlier, has learned a great lesson and will have some police reform, some revitalization, some rehabilitation within the departments across the United States. Sensitivity training is mandatory. Yes, sensitivity training is mandatory. Every officer should learn how to talk to people and treat them with dignity and respect. When I look at some of the, you know, and I study these videotapes and these films because I deal with a lot of this stuff because some of them are civil rights violations. Yes, that's right. Someone can violate your civil rights, your constitutional rights, your human rights can be taken away in a matter of seconds. That's why it's so important to know how to exercise your rights. That's why it's so important to read the Constitution. That's why it's so important to know what are your civil rights, what is your amendment rights. Well, you do have the right to assemble. You also have the right to bear arms. And you also have a right to a freedom of speech. But if you don't know your rights, then you don't know how to exercise your rights. And that's when your rights get violated. You know, and I'm just tired of us pleading the Fifth Amendment right to remain silent. If you have a voice, use your voice to speak up for what you believe is right. It's not what you do, it's how you do it. Documentation and paperwork changes things. Talking is great. But when you put it on paper and you start to get people in with you to do what you do, that's what makes the difference. That's what makes the difference. And I believe that we have a caller, and I'm not sure, but we're going to check it out right now. Caller, are you there? Good morning. Caller, are you there? Okay. I thought we had a caller, but we didn't. But I see the calls are coming in. And we had that problem last week, but this week we're going to try to make sure that we kind of get that kind of cleared up. But I'm saying to you, read up about martial law, keep studying about civil unrest, and watch how these military equipment is being given to these police departments around the United States. Keep your eyes open and keep your mind open to what's going on. And to everybody out there, here's how you can help people when they're being pulled over and mistreated by the police department. Your cell phone can document some amazing things. Keep it up, people out there who's been filming the police, why they do what they do. It's not saying that all police officers are bad. I'm not saying they're going to do bad things. But, hey, as far as I'm concerned, there shouldn't be a police officer without a camera on his body. Not one. Every police officer who goes on duty should have a camera on them at all times, from the time they clock in to the time they clock out. That way everything is recorded, no matter what they say and do, because I've heard officers say some things, and I'd be like, wow, I can't believe that. But if it's on film, then they're not going to be saying all that stuff, because then they know it'll get back to the powers that be. Example. The guy, the police officer in Ferguson who was fired, was saying that he will F and kill, and when I say F, the F word, I'm saying frickin'. He will frickin' kill the person, the journalist that he will talk to, and the people if they don't get back. This is what he told them. If you don't get back, I will kill you. And he had an automatic weapon pointing at him for no real reason. Okay, people are going to, they're going to talk. They're going to say no justice, no peace. They have a right to assemble. But just to tell them that you're going to kill them just because, I'm so glad he got fired, because we don't need that on the force. That's the example I'm talking about. We don't need that attitude on the force. We don't need that type of personality on the force. If you hate people and you don't want to be around people, then you shouldn't be being a police officer at all. You shouldn't do the job, because it has a lot to do with community service. It's a civil service position. It also is a position of a peace officer, which gives you a peace officer status, which brings me to talking about the Police Bill of Rights. The Police Bill of Rights, which is 832.7 or 832.6 under the Penal Code, it needs to be changed. And that's that bill that protects an officer when he does something wrong. We don't need officers being protected for doing something wrong. Okay? We need officers to be commended when they do something right. Okay? We don't commend an officer for taking a human life for no good reason. And you know as well as I do, I can't sit here and talk about all the shootings that are involved with police officers. We can talk about it all day and all night. The thing is, we the people, what are we going to do to make change? Either we're going to stand up for something, or we're going to fall for everything. And this is our time, people. This is our time to have our voices heard, to change legislation, to take this fight to the White House, to our president, to Congress, to the House of Representatives, and have it documented and put down in the history of the archives of the United States of America that we demand change in the policies and procedures in every police office, police department in the United States of America. Okay, so if you want that to happen, and I'm sure you do, let your voices be heard. Get involved in your community activities. Get out there and get involved with your kids at school. I'm not talking to the parents that are already doing that. I'm talking to the ones who are not involved, who need to get involved, who's real busy because you work two jobs or whatever. That these kids these days, with all this technology and the social media, they need more family attention, more family values, more family time. When is the last time we sat around the table and said, pass the potatoes, pass the greens, pass the cornbread? How was your day at school today? How are you doing? How is your life? You know, you see these kids are going caboodles out there because they feel like nobody loves them, nobody cares about them. So it's going to take us as the leaders. I'm talking to the guys out there, to the men mostly. Step it up, guys. Let's step up our game. Let's go spend some time with some kids. Let's go take them to play basketball. Take them to go to a movie. Let's just go talk to them. Spend some time with them, because that's what brings change. And we can redevelop and restructure their minds and send them in a more positive and productive direction. So, you know, on a happier note, there's a lot of positive things that are going on, and that's why I was talking about some of the positive things that are going to be happening in the future. And one of those positive things that are going to be happening in the future is taking this thing to Washington, D.C. That's a very positive thing. I've been talking to some people, and I'm trying to gather up the people and get with some other organizations so we can go to Washington. It's not impossible. Been there 3 times before. Made it into Congress and made it into the House of Representatives. So it's not impossible. It can be done. Strength runs in numbers. That's a positive thing. Fighting for a common cause. We don't have to go looting and tearing up stuff. We don't have to do none of that. All we need to do is get together, put some legislation together, and be on our way to Washington, D.C., and actually sit down with our president, Barack Obama, and talk to him about something that we all believe in. If somebody can go out there and sit down with the president on public TV and have a cold beer and talk about some other problems, then I'm sure we can get together and talk about change in policies and procedures in the police department. That's good stuff. That's really good stuff. I'm going to be back. I'm going to take a short pause for the calls. I want you to listen to a little bit more of our music here. And you are on Faces of Success Radio, the Eddie Jones Jr. Show. All right. We'll be right back. You are on the Eddie Jones Talk Show, the Eddie Jones Talk Show. Yes, you are on Faces of Success Radio. Yeah, that's right, Faces of Success Radio. And I'm so happy to be here with you this morning on this wonderful Monday morning. Hope you had a wonderful weekend. I hope that things are going right. I want to send a shout-out to everybody out there, all my friends and associates who are listening to the show, and to all the people who are going to sponsor the show in the future. And I just, like I said earlier, we're doing a good job, but we can do better in all the things that we do. I just want to share something with you, a short scripture. A lot of people don't know, but I am a minister, and I have been a minister for a long time, and I just want to share this with you. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Psalms 19, verses 14 and 15. And I just said that because, you know, I don't want to just talk about something. I want my words to be pleasing to God. I want my words to be pleasing to God. And I'm praying for everybody out there. I'm praying for our city right now. I'm praying for our elected officials. I'm praying for our government. I'm praying for President Barack Obama. I'm praying for all the parents who have lost their kids to gun violence. I'm praying for Tammy Simpson and her family with her son and everybody out there. Trust me, you are definitely in my prayers. And just wanted to say that, you know, to everybody out there that's going through something, my prayers are with you, all right? Let's see. What do we have going? Caller, are you there?
How you doing, Eddie Jones?
Miss Jones, how are you today?
I'm blessed. How are you?
Blessed and highly favored and so very, very grateful. It's a beautiful day, isn't it?
Exactly, exactly.
And so, you know, we were just, I don't know if you were listening to the show. Thank you for calling in and being a special guest on the show this morning. But we have been talking about all the different things that have been going on here lately around the city. You know, we talked about today is a homegoing celebration for Michael Brown, the kid that was shot in Ferguson, St. Louis.
Yes, we was watching it.
Yeah, and of course, you know, my heart was going out, you know, to your son, John Thomas Horton III, who had to, you know, give up his life in the Men's Central Jail. And my heart goes out to you, Miss Jones, for being, you know, just staying in there the whole time and fighting this thing all the way to the very end. Did you want to say a few words about that?
Thank you very much for that. Yeah, you know, just the same with the mother, you know, that just was, you know, Michael Brown mother, you know, I really understand what she's going through. You know, the day, you know, they announced that he lost his life, you know, he was killed, murdered down in the street like that. You know, I really understand what she's, you know, what she's going through, and I really understand her pain. You know, and they laying him to rest today, and it's just so sad that, you know, all these young men losing their lives, and, you know, and then you got to fight so hard just to get some type of justice and even just to be heard, you know. You know, of course, you know, me and my family, you know, we're going through the same thing. You know, we had to fight almost 5 years now just to be heard and still, you know, going through this process. So, you know, just hopefully that we, you know, we get righteous justice in the end also. So I really, you know, send my prayers out to the family and, you know, everybody out there that has lost a child, you know, that's haven't had justice and voice haven't been heard. You know, I really send my prayers out to my family and friends and prayers out to everybody because we really understand, you know, what they're going through today.
And, you know, and I'm so glad that when I heard, I was listening to the Brown family, you know, the mother and the father saying that they want everybody to be at peace, that they want everybody to, you know, fight for a better common cause, you know, and it just reminds me of when Rodney King made that famous statement, can't we all just get along?
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
You know, yeah. And I was looking at the news where the 9-year-old in Chicago, because, you know, in Chicago over the weekend, 24 people were shot and killed. I mean, we're talking about black-on-black crime right now, which is another bad thing that's been going on in our different communities. Over the weekend, 9-year-old Antonio Smith was shot and killed in Chicago, 9-year-old kid. And posted up, yeah, that is sad. So I'm just praying for change in every area, police brutality, black-on-black crime, brown-on-black crime, any kind of, you know, community. You know, I just wish that I want the gangs to put the guns down. And in that way, they don't have to shoot each other. I mean, what is your idea I just want to hear your opinion, Ms. Jones, on stopping some of the gun and gang violence in our communities?
Well, I really feel that, you know, it just needs to be some community organizers, you know, organizers, you know, need to step up and, you know, get first, go into the schools, go into the, start them in the elementary schools and the junior high schools and to the, you know, high schools and really start reaching out and talking to these kids, you know, getting out in front and getting in the community and finding out, you know, what, you know, actions, really start asking them, what do they need? What could we do to help them? What could we do to better their lives and then change their mindset? Because that's what it's really about. You can't just change them without helping changing the way they think, you know, because a lot of the youth right now, they feel like they feel less than human. They feel like they don't really matter. They They feel like their lives are not important no more like it was back in the, you know, in the 70s when we was growing up. You know, it was, you know, we was, you know, our families made us feel, let us know that we was important. Our families let us know that, you know, that we was the future. You know, they taught us that because of what they went through in the 60s. But the 80s kids, you know, they got everything. They got everything handed to them. So it's like there's no value on nothing, you know. So that's what I really think. I really think that the organizers, the community leaders need to get in and start asking these kids, what can we do to help y'all to make y'all lives better? And not material, but, you know, how to find a way to change the way they're thinking. And that's the whole, that's what I see.
And, you know, Ms. Jones, it's amazing. Since we're talking about kids and stuff, I don't know if you heard about the Chicago baseball team. The Little League kids, they beat all the teams from around the United States of America, and they went to the championship. So as far as the United States are concerned, they're the champions of the United States. And they were the Jackie Robinson team from Chi-Town, Chicago, where all the problems are. They're from that side of town where all the shootings and stuff is. And it's just amazing how the coaches took the kids, got them together on the baseball team, and look where they went. They went all the way up to the top until the end, and they lost to South Korea, which that's the world champion, South Korea, but the champion of the United States is the Little League team from Chicago. Isn't that amazing?
That's amazing, really.
You're so right. When you take some kids and you focus their minds and you get them in a positive, you know, mindset and work with them and stuff, that makes things a whole lot better. It really changes things. Speaking of changing things, I was going to ask you, you know, how do you feel about the judicial system and how it's kind of like locking up people like for a little bit of nothing? I mean, do you feel that there needs to be changes in the judicial system?
Yes, I do. I really do. Because you right now, the jailhouse right now is really full of nonviolence. And, you know, most of the people are there, drug addicts, that need to be in rehabilitation centers. You can lock a drug addict up 100 times. If they don't get some help on their habit and what they're doing, I mean, they're just gonna keep going back and forth. I mean, they're gonna come in and out that door. It's gonna be a revolving door. So by them not getting no help, that's not gonna be changed. So I can see people that's committing crimes, you know, robberies, murders, and you know, snatching kids and stuff like that, and you know, and race and all that. I can see you locking them up. But when it comes to these nonviolent crimes, like some of the people doing to themselves, like on drugs and stuff like that, because that's a lot of people that's locked up in there just for that, I think is wrong. I think that needs to be changed. I really do. They need help.
I couldn't agree with you more, Ms. Jones. You know, and that also goes, and that's like next week I'm going to be talking about mental illness. Because it's funny that you brought that up and why we're talking about it just for a moment. Mental illness is a major problem in the United States of America. When Ronald Reagan was president, he shut down the mental institutions. Now what the police do is they arrest people who have bipolar syndrome, paranoid schizophrenia, psychosis of different types of psychological problems, mental problems. And they arrest them and they medicate them for 72 hours and then they let them back out on the street. Well, that's not healing the problem. You know what I mean?
Exactly. You're right. They need long-term help. And it's just easily just to, you know, turn them back to the street and, you know, and send them back. And they're not realizing this is your street. These are your citizens. You know, you could go to another country and help everybody else, of which I'm glad that they are helping other people, but help the people here, too. Help your people right here where you live at, the country you're running. Help your people here, too. Show some love and care, concern for the people that's walking the streets of your country. That's what I feel.
Yeah, charity starts at home, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Charity starts at home. And so what are some of the changes that you would like to see in the judicial system? What would you like to see changed?
Well, I would really like to see change, first of all, in the courtroom. When, you know, the police are sitting in the courtroom and the judge know the police sitting up there telling lies and letting them just do what they want to do inside of courtrooms, and then the public most public offenders really don't fight hard for the client, which they should. So I really feel that need to be changed to where the police, you know, can just go in court and just straight tell lies right in front of the judge, and the judge can see that. But by them all working together, you know, you really don't stand a chance in the courtroom, you know, because I don't see it many a time. You go to a courtroom right today and just sit in there. You can go to a courtroom right today and just sit in the back of that courtroom and watch how many people that's going to be sitting in there being railroaded, and the judge sitting up there just watching it, letting it be done. And the public offender only going to fight so much for you because they're not, you know, they're not being paid. So I really wish that can change. And I just really wish that, you know, they could do something different for the youth. You know, the youth. Don't forget about the youth and the young adult. I mean, we got to take care of our kids. But what about these teenagers? What about these teenagers that you're sitting up here giving 3 and 4 and 5 years? You know, like, I've been looking at how these hit-and-run drivers, you're giving them 3 and 4 years for hitting somebody, killing them, and running. And then you turn around and take the same, get the same time to a kid that may get caught with some drugs, which that is bad, but he don't deserve 4 and 5 years, you know, for the same charge. I mean, for the same time you give it for somebody for hitting and running. So I just really think they need to change what they're doing to the youth. They need to change what they're doing to these young adults. You know, like these adults that, you know, these kids between 18 and 25, I feel like, you know, y'all need to do, they need to do more to help them. Because even though they grow, think about it, the average 18, between 17 and 25, they still finding out who they are. They really not really, they grown, but mentally they not really grown. But just think about all the people that got kids in between 17 and 25. And you tell me how mentally strong are they? You know what I'm saying? So I think they need to still do something for them and stop just, you know, locking them up, giving them 4 and 5 years just for dumb stuff.
That's so in other words, they should have a rehabilitation program, you know, because jail's not always the answer. And so you're saying that maybe they should have these kind of like camps and stuff where they can go and they do physical training and go to school. And, you know, I mean, of course, you know, they have to stay there at the camp and they can't leave. But, I've heard of programs where instead of sending them to jail, they send them to these camps. And it's like a camp where they get reformed and rehabilitated. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that's what they need. They do need to rehabilitate their citizens. These are your citizens that you letting back out on the street. And if you don't change their mindset, in other words, jail is just going to make them harder, make them more tougher, and make them more angry. So this is who you letting back out to the street. So why not rehabilitate them and get their mindsets and, you know, and change the way they think. Why they and then change their lives by making them get high school diplomas. You know, even in some of the jails for the nonviolent defenders that you, even them, help change them, because these are people that you have to send back out to the street. So you're sending them back out to the street with nothing, no mindset, no new mindset, no mind change, nothing. You're just sitting them back out, just, you know, more worse than what they came in. I just feel like they need to do more about that.
And, you know, the prison system is making so much money off of people. I mean, it's just ridiculous how much the prison system is making off of people. I mean, it's worse than the pharmaceutical companies, worse than the cigarette companies. I mean, first of all, you got to pay for these phone cards that are ridiculous. I don't know how much they are, but I've heard people talk about these phone cards that you buy just to call your loved one in jail. even though a lot of them have cell phones now.
Exactly.
And then they have these care packages which you have to buy for your loved one who's in jail, incarcerated. And I heard those packages are so expensive. And I heard some of them don't even get the packages, you know.
Exactly.
Then there's putting money on their books, which is very, very expensive. And if they're calling your home and they're calling collect, I'm sure that can get very expensive too.
Exactly. Like I said, they're making billions off their own citizens. They're making billions, trillions, you know. Like you said, it's just a business.
Yes, it is a business. Well, we're going to take a short pause for the cause, and we're going to be right back. You are on the Eddie Jones Talk Show on Faces of Success Radio, and our special guest right now is Ms. Jones. And just a little brief history before we go on a break. Ms. Jones, her son was John Thomas Horton III. He was incarcerated in the Men's Central Jail. While he was there, unfortunately, he lost his life. Of course, the 3000 gang, which was the sheriffs who were beating up people on the 3000 roll, was revealed. And within all of this, you know, it's been a big change in the sheriff's department thanks to a great fight that's been put forth by her attorneys and by the family members and by the community members who wanted to see change in the sheriff's department as far as the treatment, human treatment of people who have rights. Whether you're behind bars or not, you still have rights, and no one deserves to die. You have a right to live. And Ms. Jones, we'll be right back. Just hold on a minute for us, okay?
Okay.
All right, so let's go here. You know, right now, I'm just, you know, here's the question. The question is by Marvin Gaye. Listen up and answer the question when we come back.
Brother, brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer. For only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love and kiss here today. Picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see. What's going on? Tell me what's going on. I'll tell you what's going on.
Okay, we are back, we are back, we are back. You are on the Eddie Jones Talk Show, the Eddie Jones Talk Show on Faces of Success Radio. And our special guest in the studio right now is Ms. Jones. Hey, Ms. Jones, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
So, again, Ms. Jones, how you doing?
I'm doing fine today.
Well, Ms. Jones, when I take a look, I just want to go over the police brutality stuff one more time. We've lost Ernesto Duñez Jr., of course, the fake security officer George Zimmerman. When we lost Trayvon Martin, we lost Ezell Ford, who was killed in South Central LA. While he was handcuffed, he was shot and killed. Of course, you know, Miss Pennock was the one that was beat on the highway on the freeway by the Highway Patrol, and of course, Michael Brown in Ferguson and St. Louis, you know, of course, Oscar Duran in the Fruitvale incident, he was handcuffed. Woodrow Player Jr. was killed by the police, the sheriff's department. Eric Garner was choked to death in New York. Of course, A.J. Allen Devilina was shot and killed in the city of Palm Springs by the Palm Springs Police Department. Their chief Michael Nordman, who was a part of that, he's a police officer there, and he's to blame for that. And Chad Norman and Mike Heron, they're the two cops that shot and killed Corporal A.J. Allen Devilina the second. And I could just go on and on and on. Ignacio Ochoa, and Michael Knight of the second, and Cesar Cruz. All these people have been killed by law enforcement. And I just wanted to get your take on that, Ms. Jones. How do you feel?
I just feel it sad. You know, I just feel it sad that, you know, when it comes to law enforcement, you know, you're not going to get the same justice that, you know, when something happened to them, you know, you getting took to jail right away, you being investigated right away, you being handcuffed right away, and I just feel like it should be the same thing done to them. You know, I think it should be just equal justice for everybody. Even somebody, when somebody take one of, you know, official life, I feel like, you know, they should be prosecuted. It's the same thing with them. When they take somebody's life, and, you know, most time you can see it, you know, clear as day when they shooting somebody down, when they don't give a person a chance to surrender, or, you know, or when they just taking over people's lives and changing people's family lives in just a, you know, a split second. You know, they should just, you know, just think about people as human, and I just think they don't have respect for the public. That's what I think. I just think they just look at the public, the people in the public, like, you know, they enemies. Instead of, like, you know, instead of looking at us like we human beings, they look at us just like we just prey in the street, and I just feel like it's just sad. It's just real sad
that my heart also goes out to the young man. He was mentally retarded, and the police officer stopped him, and he was with his mother. And the police officer assumed that he had something in his pants. So the police officer was talking to him, and, of course, he was mentally retarded, so he couldn't respond. So the officer beat him up. I mean, he gave him a black eye. His face was just all beat up. I posted it on my Facebook page. Come to find out, the young man had on a colostomy bag.
Wow.
Is that not ridiculous?
It's ridiculous. And
police
I really
officer.
Think they hiring
yeah, go
police
ahead.
Is too young. I think they're putting too many young people out here policing the public, and I don't think they're ready. I think they hiring the police, you know, just hiring to go through the academy, you know, got the job and whatever. Less than a year time, I think they need to be taught just like a doctor is, because you're going out there and you're dealing with the public, and I think they're hiring and putting police out there too early. You know, would you want your 28 years old police in the street? Would you want your 25 year old police in the street? Think about that. And I'm pretty sure the average parent, they got a 25 year old at home or a 28 year old. Think about where their mindset is today. Would you want them policing you if you were somebody else? No, you wouldn't. Because you know they're not ready unless they had 2-3 years with the real training. I'm talking about in, you know, in human services, you know, how to treat people. I just think they really, really need to retrain them and make them do more training than what they're giving them.
You know, Ms. Jones, I agree with you 100%. Training is so very important. Sensitivity training is very important. Understanding the people's needs is very important. And then, you know, get out of the car and get on a bicycle or get on a horse or something. You know, there's other, you know, walk around the communities. Go into the areas of wherever and talk to the kids and get them involved in programs. The police has a DAPS program. They should have a program for all the kids. And that's why a lot of kids don't want to be police officers because, you know, they see what's going on now and they don't want to do it. But if you start them out young and, you know, just show them how to do it right and go, what we need to do is we need to form a committee, and we should have every police academy in every state, and before they graduate, we should go in there and talk to them about working in certain communities. Sensitivity
exactly.
Training, I call it. What do you think about that, Ms. Joan?
Well, I feel like, you know, what the kids are seeing from the department and what they're seeing in the streets by the police, how they look at them, you know, when they ride by in their cars, how they, you know, looking like they're in some third world country or something to where they're looking at the public like they're not nothing. These kids are seeing that. So that's why most of these kids, you know, back when I was a kid, you know, used to ask kids what they wanted to be back then, little boys. I want to be a policeman. Even the girls used to say, well, I want to be a police. But now you don't hear that today because it's what they're showing. It's what they're showing the kids nowadays. They're showing the kids nowadays they don't have the respect for them, that they bad. You know, so the kids are seeing the wrong side of the officers in the street from kids. So that's what I think.
And so maybe what it is that, you know, I mean, I really believe now, since the Ferguson incident, since the Trayvon Martin incident, since the Rodney King incident, I think that the police chiefs around the United States, which they all go to Washington, D.C., I think the message is going to be now, we need to make change. We need to change. What do you think about that, Ms. Jones?
Yeah, we do need change. We need change for everybody. I'm talking about for every race. We need change for everybody, not just our people. We need change for everybody because under God, we all the same. So we need change for all our kids. Like I say, they need to do more for the youth, the kids, the teenagers. Don't forget about the young adults because they matter too. And that's what's wrong today. You know, you have a lot of these young people feel like they don't belong. They don't know where they belong. You know, so, you know, you got a lot of lost kids out here, a lot of lost young adults out here. They all lost, you know, so we do need change.
Yes, we do. And, you know, Ms. Jones, I'm so happy, very happy that you called in. And that's why we were talking about the certain things that we were talking about. But also, I'm so glad that you chimed in on the judicial system and the change, you know, in the courtroom, because I've sat in a lot of courtroom cases, and sometimes when I look at the public defenders, tell that person, we're going to give you a deal. And I'm like, you're going to give them a deal? And then they say 20 years. That's not a deal.
Exactly.
That's not a deal, Ms. Jones. That's to me, that's like manipulation 101. That's just terrible. Now we're going to take another short pause for the calls. And the reason why I say that, Ms. Jones, the reason why I say that is because this week coming up will be it would have been the birthday of the late Michael Jackson. So I just wanted to take out a short pause for the calls to all the people out there who love Michael Jackson. I just want to play this one song. And I don't know if you guys remember this song. Some of you might remember it, some of you might not. But, Ms. Jones, I want you to hold on. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Don't hang up your phones. Don't get off your computers. You're on the Eddie Jones Talk Show on Faces of Success Radio. We'll be right back. Here's a song from the Jackson 5 with the lead singer Michael Jackson, Looking Through the Window. You are on the Eddie Jones Talk Show. You are on the Eddie Jones Talk Show, and we are live on the air on Faces of Success Radio. This is Eddie Jones. We have our special guest, Ms. Jones. Ms. Jones, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
And then we have another special guest. Shirley, are you there?
I'm here.
Now, Shirley, welcome to the show. Shirley, this is Ms. Jones. Ms. Jones, that's Shirley. How you all doing?
Blessed.
Okay, well, Ms. Jones, I'm going to ask Shirley. Shirley, now, are you an evangelist or a minister?
I'm a minister.
You're a minister. Okay.
I am a minister.
Okay. Well, first of all, welcome to the show, Shirley. And you know, I've been knowing you for years now, and we've worked together, and just wanted to ask you a question. With all this police brutality and everything that's been going on, I want to hear from your perspective what the church is doing for the community, for the children, to help keep peace.
Well, I can't speak for all the churches. I have to speak for mine. We have a Friday night service for the children. My pastor is very open with the kids. They do everything. They go bowling. They go camping. They spend the night at the church. They just do all kind of things.
Okay, well,
let me
ask you, Shirley, I don't mean to interrupt you, but do you have some other sound effects like television or something going on in the background? There's a lot of feedback, and you can kind of hear that stuff. I was wondering if you could kind of like maybe turn that down so we could hear you a little bit clearer.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you much better now. Yes, and I agree with you. That's really great. So you guys have sleep-ins, you know, where the kids come to the church and they sleep in, and you guys do a Christian fellowship and stuff like that?
Yes.
And so
we teach them how to make resumes, how to be women and young men, how to be responsible, how to open up bank accounts, how to, you know, get ready for the world.
Okay. And so, I still hear a lot of things in the background, like a phone ringing and somebody talking, and I can't really hear you really good. So we probably need to get you in a more quieter environment so we can really hear your voice. Can you hear me okay there, Shirley?
I hear you fine.
Okay. And I just want everybody else to hear you fine, too. So that's really good. Now, what's the name of your church?
Greater Faith Grace Bible Church.
Now, you know, with the shooting of Michael Brown out there in St. Louis and Ferguson, the churches came out and asked for peace in the community, and they gave a peace rally, which Trayvon Martin, the Martin family, was there, and, of course, the Brown family was there, and all the people in the community and all the churches from all over the Ferguson community came together, and they're all asking for peace now. I want to get your opinion on that and ask you how you feel about it.
Well, it's a beautiful thing. They're asking for it, but are they praying about it? Are they being directed from the Lord to do whatever? Because you can ask anything, but if God is not in it, then you're wasting your time.
Okay. And I couldn't agree with you more. I couldn't. So do you feel like all the communities across the United States and all the churches and all the pastors, we should be not only praying for change, but also getting involved in our communities with our young people for change as well?
Yes. I feel they should come out of the pulpit and go out in the highways and byways like the Bible tells us to and do what you do best. I feel that the pastors, the ministers, the evangelists, the mothers, those should be the police.
So in other words, what you're saying is, Minister Taylor, is that they should go beyond the walls and take this beyond the walls and go out into the highways and the byways and really get the word out there, right?
They got to. That's the only way it's going to stop.
So, Ms. Jones, are you there, Ms. Jones?
Yes, I'm here.
So Ms. Jones, I just wanted to ask you, how do you feel about what the church is doing in the community or what the church should be doing in the community to help keep kids out of jail, to teach them how not to be harassed by the police and to teach them what to do when they're pulled over by the police? Because, you know, a lot of kids, they don't know what to do. They get pulled over by the cops, they get nervous, and they jump out the car, and, you know, all kinds of stuff like that. So, Ms. Jones, how do you feel about the church working with the kids in the community and teaching them more about how to understand what they should and should not be doing when it comes to not only the police, but just in life in general?
Well, I think it's a good thing that they're working with the, you know, the kids. And I feel that, you know, the young mothers and the young fathers of the day need to be in church with the young kids. So, because there's a lot of kids right now, you know, that haven't even been inside of a church. You know, so it lets them make parents of going in church with them like our parents took us to church and made us go to church. And, you know, that's what's missing right now is that most of your kids right now haven't even been inside of a church unless it was a funeral. So that's what I think, you know, so the pastors and, you know, the, you know, evangelists and all of them can do more for the kids because a lot of them, like I say, don't even know about God.
Well, you know, Ms. Jones and Shirley, I challenge every minister, every evangelist, and every pastor out there to get involved more with community involvement with working with our kids. That's a challenge. You know, I've heard people say, you know, we put all this money into the church, we give our last at the church, and what is the church going to do for us? You know, I've heard people go to the church and say, hey, my light bill needs to be paid or whatever. Okay, well, here's the challenge. All you ministers and pastors out there, and I'm not just talking to the ones who are on mega churches. I'm talking to every pastor, every minister, every evangelist, everybody that's in the church. Here is your challenge. Get involved with an outreach from your church to help kids in a better way than they've been helped already. Give them better, teach them about God. Teach them how to pray. Because a family that prays together stays together. And the church is the foundation. The church is the foundation for the work that needs to be done in our community. So,
and where there's unity, there's strength.
Exactly.
I'm sorry, say that again, Ms. Taylor.
I said where there's unity, there is strength.
I agree with you. Strength is so important. And so, you know, that brings me to a certain scripture. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge God, and he will direct your path.
Amen.
Okay, so
Amen.
Now, you know.
Ephesians 6 and 1 says, children, obey your parents. That's a very important role right there. And then it says, honor thy mother and thy father, which your days will be, you know, kept longer. That's a commandment. That's very important.
Now, you know, Minister Taylor, also, too, I just want to know, how does the church feel about all these shootings, about the police brutality? This is our topic for today. You know, all these people being killed by the cops, beat up by the cops, shot by the cops, mistreated by the cops, verbally abused by the cops. How does the church, now speaking for your church, how do you feel about that? And what do you tell your members with all this police brutality going on?
We must put on the whole armor of God to withstand the devil. Because we're not dealing with flesh and blood. We're dealing with rulers and principles, you know, of the darkness. The devil is using these people, and you can see it all in them.
Yes. Okay, well, hold on. Don't hang up, ladies. Hold on. This is a very interesting topic. Just hold on one moment. Yes, caller, are you there? Hello, caller? Okay, let's hold on. Hold on. A caller, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. Caller, are you there?
Hello?
Okay. All right. No, we're still here. Okay, hold on. Okay, so Minister Taylor, you're still there?
I'm still here.
Ms. Jones, you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, good. Okay, so now, so I've been asking a lot of our young people lately how they feel about what happened in Ferguson with Michael Brown, and you wouldn't believe how angry young people are who want to get involved in the fight for change. But I was telling the young people now, looting is not the answer, rioting is not the answer, but legislation is the answer. Ms. Jones, how do you feel about us putting together the churches and the people and making a march towards Washington, D.C.? How do you feel about that, Ms. Jones?
I feel it's needed. You know, it's needed. I feel good about it.
Okay.
Right,
we're going to take a short pause for the cause. We're going to be right back. Don't anybody go anywhere. We're on the Eddie Jones Talk Show here, the Eddie Jones Talk Show, and we are live on the air. We have Minister Taylor and Mrs. Jones, and we're talking about a lot of things that have to do with police brutality. We're talking about black-on-black crime, which is another thing we're going to touch on again. And we're also talking about just what's going on. And here's a song that I want you all to hear. It's by Angie Stone. I play it on my show every week. It's called Brother. Take a listen to this, and we'll be right back. Callers, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. You're on the Eddie Jones Talk Show.
Is my king, is my one, yes, he's my father, yes, he's my son, I can talk to him, cause he understands everything I go through, and everything I am, my support system, can't live without him, the best thing since sliced bread, is his kiss, his hug, his lips, his touch, and I just want the whole world to know about my life.
Eddie Jones Talk Show. You are on the Eddie Jones Talk Show on Faces of Success Radio. This is Eddie Jones, president of the Los Angeles Civil Rights Association, where we fight for civil, constitutional, and human rights. And we are having some topics today that are very important topics. We're talking about police brutality. Of course, earlier we talked about martial law. And callers, are you there? Callers, are you there?
Yes.
Ms. Jones, are you there?
I'm here.
Yes, and Ms. Taylor, Minister Taylor, you're there too, right?
I'm here.
Okay, just want to touch on something that I talked about a little bit earlier. I don't know if you guys heard or not, but Suge Knight, you guys know who Suge Knight is, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he was shot last night at some event where Chris Brown was performing. So I wanted to, I just wish him the best. And we're going to pray for him and his family. And, of course, earlier I played that song for Michael Jackson because, you know, his birthday's coming up real soon. And we just wanted to recognize him for all the work that he's done and stuff in the community and around the world. And we were touching on police brutality and all the people who have lost their life to police brutality. And some people are so angry because, you know, a lot of people want to get up and get on a plane and go to Ferguson, you know what I mean? But they just didn't have the resources, or they got to go to work every day or whatever. But everybody was praying for change. And that's what I saw on my Facebook page. That's what I saw on my Instagram. That's what I saw on my Twitter page. So starting with you, Ms. Jones, what do you think we're doing better at getting change with all this police shootings and police brutality? Do you think we're getting the change that we've finally been fighting for and deserving?
Well, I think this, what happened to Michael Brown, I think that this is like something that's starting. I think it's just now starting to really waking people up to where they're seeing that, you know, something needs to be done. And I feel that you really need to get the mothers together, like, you know, me, my son was murdered, and all the mothers that have been through what I've been through, you know, you need to connect them together. And,
yes.
You know, that's what I feel like. You need to do something to get us together because we're the ones that, you know, the strength, we are the mothers. So we can make change also.
That's,
you know,
right.
We can do something to change.
I agree with you. I agree with you. Just let me just see something here. Caller, are you there, caller?
Yes, I'm here.
Caller? Yes, hi. How are you?
I'm better than you.
Okay, now, Ms. Jones and Shirley, Minister Shirley, hold on a second. Caller, how are you today?
I'm good, and you? How are you, Mr. Jones?
I'm doing fine, and who's calling?
This is Lisa Terrell.
Lisa Terrell, how are you, Ms. Lisa Terrell?
I'm good, and you? I'm good, and you? I wanted to discuss some of the topics that you're discussing on your show.
Well, wonderful. Well, now, Lisa Terrell, I want you to meet Mrs. Jones, and Mrs. Jones, I want you to meet Lisa Terrell.
How you doing?
Hello,
Lisa.
Mrs. Jones.
Hi.
And then Lisa, I want you to meet Minister Shirley Taylor.
Good morning, Minister.
Good morning. God
okay,
bless.
So now that we're all on the line and we're all talking about police brutality, Lisa, who I've been knowing for many, many years, I'd like for you to give us how you feel about what's going on. Lisa, are you there? Okay, I think we kind of lost Lisa there some kind of way. Hopefully she'll call back in. But Ms. Jones, are you there? Minister Taylor, are you there?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so we were talking about, you know, the change that's coming right now. So Minister Taylor, would you like to share with us, Minister Taylor, anything that's been going on as far as police brutality or what happened with your grandson? Would you like to share that?
Well, my grandson was pretty much set up. And
now, when you say you set up, you mean by the judicial system?
By the police.
By the police. Okay.
By the police. It was said that he had a warrant. Well, if he had a warrant, he should have been arrested. And
right.
So they said that there was no warrant out for him. And so
right.
They allowed these young men to go. And I had heard some things in the making, yet, you know, we really didn't pay any attention to it. I didn't anyway. But anyway, this particular night, my grandson was shot 5 times. And so by the time I got the call, someone had told me that he was dead. And so, of course, I went in my prayer closet and I began to pray. And I told the Lord, I said, well, if you could raise Lazarus, surely you can raise him. And so the next day, I didn't go to the hospital that night. I went the next day because I needed to pray. And it had to be well with my soul as well as the Lord that, you know, I was doing the right thing. We have to teach our children to be respectful, mindful, and it tells us that we train them up in the way they should go. When they're old, they won't depart from it. Well,
right.
He had just got a settlement, and he had met a young lady, and he bought her a car, and just he was just showing out, just buying. So she set him up to get robbed. And they robbed him of his iPhone, his cell phone, and the money that he had on him. And then they took the bank card and they started going in the bank withdrawing money.
Now, anyway, Minister Taylor, I don't mean to interrupt you so abruptly, but we got 14 minutes left on the show. So cutting to the chase with your grandson, I want to get to the moral of the story because it's very interesting that he was set up by the police. But what is the moral to your story right now about your grandson?
The moral to the story was he was set up, but God said not so, that his life
okay.
would be taken. He is now
okay.
paralyzed from neck down, but he's in good spirits now. He realizes that he should have made better choices, and I believe that he's going to end up being a minister. You know,
amen. Praise God. Don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. Thank you. Hold on a second, Ms. Taylor. Don't go anywhere. Let's see.
Okay.
Yes, hello. Caller, are you there?
Yes, this is Lisa again. I'm sorry I lost signal.
No, that's okay. Now, we have you on the line, and I'm so glad we do. Now, just hold on. Don't go anywhere, Ms. Lisa. Don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere.
Okay.
Hello, caller. Are you there with us, caller?
Yes.
Is this a caller from 323-245 number?
Yes.
Okay, and your name?
Bruce Phillips.
Bruce, how are you, Bruce?
I'm all right.
Okay, well, Bruce, now we have you on the line with some very good company. We have Ms. Lisa Terrell. We have Minister Taylor. We have Ms. Jones. Everybody say hi to each other and hi to Bruce.
Hello, Bruce.
How you doing?
Okay. Well, now first we're going to hear from Ms. Lisa Terrell. We would like for you to chime in on how you feel about the police brutality and the killing that's going on. Just go ahead on and share with us, please.
Well, as far as the police brutality, I feel it's a shame that we now have to worry about being our children and being killed by the police when they're struggling on the street, worry about being killed by different gangbangers. You know, we feel that the police brutality is getting worse. Every day, like we have killings in Chicago every week, you know, that really hasn't been focused on. I mean, like the Ferguson killing of Michael Brown, you know, it's devastated that it took something this drastic in order to us to focus that the police are not here no more to protect and serve. You know, it's like it's becoming a ritual for them to not only kill our people, it's that they're... You know, they're focusing on, you know, our people as far as killing black on black, you know what I'm saying, is more devastating in itself. You know, we have to kind of get a grip on our children. You know, a lot of things like starts in the home. A lot of us adults, as parents, try to be friends with the parents. You know, and I think that more so we need to teach our kids, like we need to get them in church. We need to get them in programs. You know, we need to get them even at the police department, you know, to talk to the police department to let them know that they're not here for to harm each other. You know, if we would make a stand and make a way for our children to have more better opportunities instead of walking the street, using drugs, and focus on our kids as far as, like, mentors. You know, we need more mentors.
Yes.
We need, like, more people
yes.
in the church to do more outreach.
And, you know, Lisa, you made a very good topic, Lisa. There's a lot of feedback on one of the – I don't know which call it is, but there's a lot of feedback. And if you could turn that feedback down, someone – I don't know who that is. Now, Bruce, are you
probably
there,
my
Bruce?
My granddaughter hollers.
Yes.
No, it's not your granddaughter. No, it's an echo. Bruce, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, Bruce. Now, how you doing, Brother Bruce?
I'm doing all right. Good, and you?
Wonderful. Now – I'm doing great, and thank you, and welcome you all to the Eddie Jones Talk Show. We have about 10 minutes left, and Bruce, please share with us what's on your mind, Bruce. What's on your mind?
Well, you know, my thing is a lot of those departments, police department, you know, when they do something, you know, say if it's the Los Angeles Police Department, you know, when they do stuff, and they really highlight them, but the department that's really doing a lot of crooked stuff, it was the sheriff department, and they patrol tactics. I just want to say this, that they what they do is, I guess they go off statistics to where they know, like, in a ghetto area, you have a lot of young men have criminal records. So you can go there and, let's say, take just randomly grab, like, 10 guys, and out of that 10, 8 going to be on parole. And that's guaranteed in most of these ghetto areas. And what they do is they provoke a lot of stuff, knowing that the area they're in, just about anybody we pull, just the less chance they're going to pull over a guy that don't have a criminal record or anything. So to say that is to tell you this, what they do when they patrol, they would pull you over. They don't call in or anything like that. They open the door, put you in the back seat, seem like it's unlawful, really detaining you. And what they do, they'll search your car, and if you're guilty of anything, then they'll arrest you and take you to jail. So from that, what they do is pull up, that's like 4 or 5 of us. We're not allowed to walk to the store or anything like that. You know, that's automatic, you know, citizen search, you know, if 4 or 5 African Americans just walking. So that's been going on for years in the neighborhood in which we grew up in, to where, you know, the anger is there between us and really the sheriff department. You know, and that's one big problem that we have. So when they stop you, and the first thing they pull their gun and this and that, to where they treat you like some third world citizen, and it's a lot of frustration right there. And one more thing. Yes.
Now, Bruce, let me chime in on you real quick, because we have about 7 minutes left. So, in other words, you are tired, and the community is tired of illegal search and seizures. You're tired of the police brandishing their weapons when they pull you over. And from what I'm hearing from you is you want change in policy and procedures on how they treat people in the community when they pull them over. You want people to be treated with dignity and respect and honor, even though they're pulling you over. They don't have to talk down to you. They don't have to pull a weapon on you, and they don't have to mistreat you. Is that the message that I'm hearing from you this morning, Bruce?
Yes, that's the message. And Eddie, also, I want to close with this. I have a lot of friends that went to jail just for, like, traffic tickets and this and that. And when they get out, they come tell me they've been beat and this and that, you know, while they incarcerated. And I had just looked at a prime example to where a deputy, just the first time I've known this on the street, to get beat up, you know, by a person. It was on the news, Linwood Sheriff. He really got beat real, real bad, which is a shame. But the difference between that incident, that the isolated incident, is that guy facing life. He's facing attempted murder and life in prison, in which they don't convict him. I know that for sure. But by the same token, they done beat people half to death, and here they facing a suspension. And that's where we have a big problem with the sheriff's department.
Okay, well, now I have about 5 minutes left. So first of all, I want to thank all of my special guests. Lisa Terrell, I want to thank you so much, Lisa, for coming on to the show. Lisa, are you there?
Oh, yes, I'm here. No problem, Eddie. I enjoyed your show, and it was really informative. And I would like to discuss this topic further if you have this topic further discussed on your next show.
Okay, don't worry. We sure will. Just hold on, Lisa. Don't go nowhere. I'm going to put you on hold, okay?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for coming on. Okay, hello? Are you there?
Yeah.
Hello?
Bruce? Bruce, hello. Yes. Yeah, Bruce, I'm going to take your – I'm going to – hold on, Bruce. We're going to be counting down to the show, but thank you, Bruce, for coming on the show. I appreciate that, Bruce.
All right, thank you, too.
All right, God bless you, Bruce. We'll be talking about this more.
All right.
All right. Okay, hello, Minister Taylor, are you there? Minister Taylor, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, Minister Taylor, can you give us a 30-second soundbite on your closing remarks?
My closing remarks are that we have to be prayerful. Our ancestors was. That's how it got us to where we are today. And we have to be prayerful. We have to teach our children when to be quiet, when to talk. We have to train them up in admiration. I'm asking everyone to be blessed, be careful, and it says watch and pray and be safe out there.
Well, thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Minister Shirley Taylor, I want to thank you for coming on, and hopefully you'll be coming on again sometime next week when we start talking about mental illness. But I want to thank you so much for coming on, Minister Taylor.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
All right, we'll talk to you soon, and God bless you.
Okay, God bless.
Okay, Ms. Jones, are you there, Ms. Jones?
I'm here.
Ms. Jones, I just want to thank you so much for coming on the show. I want to thank you for chiming in on everything. I want to thank all the callers for calling in today. I want to thank all the people that are listening around the United States of America, but I also want to thank all the people that are listening abroad who are listening in other countries. This is so important that you get to learn what's going on. So, Ms. Jones, what are your closing remarks, Ms. Jones?
I just want to say, you know, I'll give my prayer to all the people out there that's being, you know, harmed and not getting justice. And I just hope that, you know, we all just learn from what's, you know, what's going on around us and what happened to Michael Brown. I hope that this just bring everybody together and let them know that, you know, it's no justice. And the only way we're going to get justice is if we stand together and do something to make a change. And
well, thank you, Ms. Jones. No, Ms. Jones, I'm sorry. I want to thank you so much. We're almost out of time. Just want to thank you for coming on. Hope you have a wonderful day. God bless you and your family. And hopefully we'll be talking again next week when we talk about mental illness.
Okay, sure.
All right, Ms. Jones, you take care, okay? All right, hold on. Don't go. Just listen up. All right. Okay, everybody out there, we got about 2 minutes left. First of all, I want to thank you all for coming on to the Eddie Jones Talk Show. Please tell a friend. Please tell your neighbors. Please send it out to Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and everywhere else. This is some very hot stuff that we need to continue to talk about. Next week, we'll be talking about mental illness. Mental illness, yes, we will. Faces of Success Radio is, you know, really, really growing and really coming up. And also the Eddie Jones Talk Show is really, really growing and really coming up too. I want to give a shout out to everybody out there. I just want you to know that I love you, that God loves you, and that if we all work together for a common cause, we can make change. You are on the Faces of Success radio show, the Eddie Jones Talk Show. Thank you for calling in, and here's a closing song for you.